This novel and its recording are both copyright by Alessandro Cima and Candlelight Stories, Inc., available at candlelightstories.com. A Candlelight Stories audio production. Pirate Jack by Alessandro Cima. Chapter 10. Pirates. I was drowning. My face was going under. Everything was about to go black when I got turned around by a wave. An enormous wall slid right in front of my face and threw a white spume at me. It was a ship, a huge tower of wood sliding by me. It wasn't stopping. The ship didn't even slow down. I screamed and waved, trying to keep my head out of the foam. I was caught up and yanked out of the water, swung and crashed against the hull, then dangled out over the sea. I felt myself yanked up again, and my jacket almost slipped over my head. I was in someone's hands. Saved! We swung over the rail, and the hands let go. I crashed face first onto the deck, and saw black tar oozing up between the planks. A dirty foot with cracked toenails planted itself in front of my eye. A shiny and deadly-looking knife blade stuck its point into the deck and spun brightly in the morning sun. "Get yourself up, mate!" a deep, gravelly voice barked. I flopped around on the deck like a dying fish. "Up on your feet!" the voice growled. "I can't!" I blubbered, spitting water out. Someone grabbed my knapsack and hauled me to my knees. The man holding the knife was ugly as an 80-year-old pug dog. He had a mouth full of black teeth, a twisted nose, and skin so scarred he looked like he'd walked into a blender. He wore a gold earring. "Little fella, get up off your feet or I'll be splitting them off at the ankles now." I planted my feet on the deck and tried to rise but collapsed. The ugly guy grabbed me and lifted me to my feet where I wobbled like a marionette. A small crowd of rough sailors had gathered. They carried knives and some had pistols. They were barefooted and wore raggedy shirts and pants. One of them leaned on a tree branch that was his crutch. I knew a band of pirates when I saw one. The ugly one with the knife at my throat laughed. "Let's carve him like a fat turkey," he cried. The group whooped and cheered this idea. A tall guy in a blue coat came through the men. He had a long, narrow face that seemed very serious. "Unhand the boy," he said sternly. The pirate let me fall to my knees. I looked up at the tall one. "What's on your back?" he asked.
"Frostios cereal and winter mountain water," I croaked.
"Johnny, open it up," he ordered the ugly guy. The pirate slit my knapsack open, and the Frostios and water fell out on the deck. Johnny picked up the cereal and tore it open. He scooped out a handful of O's and tasted them. Then he crossed the deck to share them with the others.
"I am First Mate Morgan," said the tall pirate. "What were you doing in the water?"
"A guy threw me off a boat."
"Not one of us?"
"No, a small boat, a rowboat."
"Where is it?"
"Nowhere, it left."
"It left?"
"Yeah, I swear the guy just left."
"You're a filthy stowaway, and I shall throw you over the side."
"No, I'm not. I got thrown off a boat already."
"You're of no use here."
"Look, Mr. Morgan, I know a lot about pirates."
"Oh, you do?"
"Sure."
I looked up at the ship's rigging and saw the familiar two-mast design of a brig. I pointed at the forward mast.
"There's the foremast," I said, "holding the foresail, foretopsail, and here's the main mast. Back there at the stern is the quarterdeck."
Just then, the door to the companionway opened. A big pirate stepped on deck. All the other pirates looked at him. His loose white shirt was open wide around his neck. He wore torn black pants that hung loosely to just below his knees. His black hair was wild. He had a big mustache under a long, broken nose. The eyes set beneath a thick-lined brow blazed with serious menace. As he approached, I saw that he had a terrible scar running across his chin.
"Are we frolicking with the sea life, Morgan?"
He laughed and put his fists on his hips. Around his waist was tied a long red sash of velvet, the loose ends whipping around his knee in the wind.
"Captain, he says he was tossed off a small boat," said Morgan.
"We'll toss him off a big one now,"
the captain said with a grin. The boy was just displaying some of his nautical knowledge.
Perhaps he'll rattle his brain and reckon how a dead man swings from the yardarm.
They all laughed and whooped. I didn't want them to keep going down this line.
I know this is a brig. It's got 10 cannon on deck, no room for gun ports below, I said.
And how heavy a ball can they fire?
The captain asked. 10 pounders, I said. The captain looked at Morgan and lifted an eyebrow. He turned to the crowd of pirates. They stared back dumbly. He turned to me.
And what do we do with a knave who goes missing, or sets off with a wee bit more than his share of the booty?
Put him on a deserted island with a pistol and one bullet, so he can take his own life or die of thirst? I answered.
Lad, the captain shouted. That is on the mark. A most vile and derelict boy you must be, to know so much of knavery aboard a boat such as this.
He slapped me on the shoulder and winked.
Throw him over, he said.
I gasped in horror as he walked away. Then my brain started working real fast. I can fix your staysail, I shouted after him. It's torn. I know how to sew it.
The captain stopped and turned. Morgan lifted me onto the rail, prepared to push me over.
Morgan! Hold your bleedin' loyal hand, roared the captain.
He looked at the crowd of pirates.
The skinny boy's twice the ship hand of any of ye mangy dogs. Not a one of ye can see fit to clean your breeches, much less stitch a sail.
He got a big laugh on this, and held up his hand for silence.
Tell me, my ship of scoundrels, what shall we do with our catch today?
The pirate stood silent for a moment, thinking about this. Then a cry came from the crow's nest at the top of the mainmast.
I say, we put the skinny lad to work, just like he says, the pirates roared. To work!
The captain helped me off the rail.
You'll live another day, lad, but you'll live a pirate or die a boy, understand?
Yeah, yes, sir,
I shouted, with all the happiness of being alive.
After you get some sleep, you shall meet Pierre, the boatswain. Do everything the man says.
The captain twisted his mustache and squinted at me.
Morgan, dinner in my cabin tonight. Bring the boy.
He went through the companionway beneath the quarterdeck.
Since you're still alive, you might as well follow me, Morgan said.
He turned and walked toward the companionway near the forecastle. I went behind him. There was lots of laughing from about the decks and rigging as crewmen returned to work. I followed Morgan down the narrow companionway to the gallery. There were snoring pirates wedged between sacks and lying in dirty hammocks.
Crew quarters, Morgan said, sweeping his hand across the scene.
It was dim below decks and smelled of tar, mold, spices, and coffee. The deck was cluttered with big canvas sacks filled to bursting and piled against the bulkheads. The coffee smell made me think of my father's favorite mug.
Coffee beans? I asked.
Looted from a carrack sailing for the West Indies, Morgan said. Is there gold?
Morgan looked down at me with a scowl.
Coffee beans'll do for now, he said.
My tour was over.
Morgan took me forward and showed me an empty hammock.
It's yours. Get some sleep, he grunted. I'll fetch you for dinner.
He left me there in a place that smelled like 1,000 pairs of my sneakers. I climbed into my hammock and lay there, feeling the ship roll gently. As soon as I was sure Morgan was up top, I climbed out of the hammock, walked quietly to the companionway, and climbed down into the darkness of the ship's hold. I stepped right onto something that clanked. I froze, listening for a pirate coming down to check the noise. No one came. I reached down to touch the bag beneath my feet. There was metal inside, probably plates of bronze or silver. A shaft of light from the companionway was all I had to see by. The hold was piled with bags, boxes, and barrels. I smelled beer and spices. Pirates always stocked up on these things. It made their lives bearable. I climbed as quietly as I could over the pile of goods. Nothing felt like a treasure chest. It was mostly spices, salted meats, beer, rum, rope, clothes, and muskets. They had a lot of guns. These pirates were ready for a war. Treasure would have to wait. Surely it would come. That's all pirates ever really cared about. When it did come, I'd make a plan to get it. I snuck back up the ladder and slipped into my hammock.
I lay there, gently swaying with the rolling of the ship, the deck planks only a few inches above my face, the hammock wrapped around me so it felt like I was in a sack, the creaking of the ship's timbers suddenly made everything so real. Just imagine, waking up one day in a strange country you have never seen. You're in a strange room, in a city you don't know. You don't know where to go or who to talk to. Imagine that everyone you ever knew was dead or not born. This was how I felt at that moment in the hammock. Loneliness and confusion swept over me in a rush as I stared up at the heavy deck planks. I was in another time, hundreds of years before my father was born. There was nothing familiar to me anywhere in this world. My eyes were wide open, and my arms were wrapped tightly around my chest. I hardly breathed. How do you find your way in a world you know nothing about? Where do you begin? I began to collect my thoughts and reminded myself that it was I who had thrown the bottle. I had stepped into this strange world of the past for a reason. That would have to be my starting point. I would just do exactly what I had to do to steal treasure. I would learn my way through this world with that goal always in my head. Get the treasure any way possible. Steal it and bring it back home, I told myself. Along the way, I would remember each thing that happened so I could tell the story. I woke up when I rolled out of the hammock and crammed my elbows into the deck. Ow! I cried. Lordy! A bruise! Oh, dear! How will you mend our sails now? There was a big belly hanging over me and a bushy black beard above it. A pair of hands reached down and hoisted me to my feet. I was sleeping, I said, looking up into a jolly round face with cheerful eyes. He wore a blue turban around his head, just like he was from Arabia. His filthy gray shirt was open to his belly button and tucked into a pair of wide red and yellow striped pants. "Sleep bring you close to dying, me boy," he said with a wink. "Yeah, if somebody sneaks up on you," I replied. "Come along now," he said, taking my arms and pulling me to the ladder. "Blimey! A crew of miscreants and scoundrels! Imagine the state of things where a mere lad must mend the sails!" We went up on deck, and the ship was busy with pirates in the rigging as we sailed fast. The masts leaned, and the bow pounded the waves, sending a silver spray high into the air. I looked up and saw men crawling out on the yardarms to put on more sail. The cloth whooshed and popped as it filled with the wind. The men climbed down the mast and tightened ropes. They moved like squirrels in a tree. "I am Pierre, the boatswain," said my jolly friend, as he led me along the deck toward the forecastle. "You'll be working for me and learning the ways of a brig." The torn sail was being spread out on the forecastle deck. Another sail was hoisted in its place. Pierre bent over and picked up a large needle attached to a heavy black twine. "Stitch her up, boy," he said. I found the ragged tear in the cloth and kneeled down to start. The big needle was hard to push through the cloth, but I did it, and I did the stitches the way my father had taught me. When I was halfway done, I noticed several crewmen watching from high up the foremast. They hung from shrouds, their feet braced against the yards, looking like they'd forgotten their jobs. Then they moved back into their work, and I knew right there that I was doing something right. The boatswain chuckled. "A seamstress is born," he grunted, walking aft, his head thrown back as he looked up at the sails.
A Candlelight Stories audio production.
This novel and its recording are both copyright by Alessandro Cima and Candlelight Stories, Inc., available at candlelightstories.com.